You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
So this morning, Andrew Little has announced that he'll be stepping down as the leader of the opposition after recent data showed the party has been polling in the low 20s. Jacinda Ardern has just been voted in unopposed by Labour's caucus as their new leader, and Calvin Davis is their new deputy. Jacinda Ardern is addressing the media as we speak. In studio, we have political commentator David Slack to discuss the news. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, India.
So, Little says this move is him taking responsibility for their poor polls. Could this really be considered a responsible decision so close to the election?
Well, I don't think we're in familiar times anymore, and what you used to think was the right thing to do possibly isn't anymore. You know, this is a kind of a reality TV era, astonishingly fast 24/7 news cycle, which means that something that once upon a time would have seemed far too late can actually be quite enough with 6 or so weeks to go. So you've got that first. And then the second thing is there is, you know, without doubt, a vast amount of possibility there for Jacinda Ardern to capitalise on young people who didn't vote last time and weren't thinking of voting. And there is a real possibility that she connects with people in a way that Andrew Little couldn't, nor David Shearer, nor Phil Goff, nor David Cunliffe. And that's the weird thing about politics. You can think that a party is absolutely screwed. You thought it about the National Party in the 2001 election. No, it was 2002. It was the one where Bill English took a terrible pasting, and you thought, how the hell do they come back from there? Well, look where they ended up, you know. You do have the further complication of the MMP system and the fact that you have the Greens and New Zealand First all fighting for that vote as well. That does make it harder. But there is no doubt that if you throw something new into play, all kinds of things change. And here's the other really crucial thing to consider. There's something about the way people vote that is a million miles away from making a rational, logical calculation. And this is the thing I have to keep banging into my... I've been a political speechwriter a long time now, and I keep writing speeches where I'm making a careful, reasoned argument for something, and then I remember. No, you don't... That's... You need that underneath. But actually, people have... They work... They respond to emotion. They respond to a sort of a visceral human sense of things. And there's a really crucial thing, and that is people want to vote for what other they think everybody else is going to vote for. You'd think they wouldn't. You'd think that rationally you go in and you decide which am I going to do. But actually, when you think about human behaviour, it makes a kind of sense. Like something as mundane as going to dinner with a group of friends, or actually deciding where you're going to go with that group of friends to dinner, you realise, well, I might want to go to this one place, but people are saying they want to go to this other one. It would actually be better for us all if I go along with this idea. I reckon there's the large human impulse that runs in this that says, well, what's everyone else voting for? I want to make this work. I'm going to vote for them too. So that really stands in the way of people saying, now stuff that. I've had enough of the pineapple pizza bloody Prime Minister and 9 years of this bloody National government just doing squat to make it possible for me to ever afford a house. I'm going to go with these other guys. Well, it becomes harder when you get a sense that most people aren't. However, now we've got this new possible Prime Minister who's young and relates to people, and she's a woman, and that, you know, we're quite good at electing women as Prime Minister. And I think that's got a real potential too. Sorry, that was it's probably answered about four other questions you had in mind. But
well, my next question is that Jacinda Ardern obviously is coming at a very difficult moment with, you know, Labour doing so poorly in the polls. She's also repeatedly said that she doesn't want the position. Do you think that it's true that she didn't want the position? How do you think she'll do if it is?
Yeah, I know she has said that, and I know she means it, but I also know that she's very capable, and she knows that if she's presented with a different set of circumstances, she can rise to it. She's one of the most capable people I've ever seen in politics. She's really well-informed about issues. She's really skillful at working out how to convey that to people. you know, getting real substance in there, but also making it comprehensible to people. And she's really good at organizing people. You know, I've done various events with her where she's chairing the thing, and she is way more effective at making things hum along and get just what you need from people and then move on than many people I've ever seen. Now, that's a really crucial role for both a leader of a party, a leader of a coalition, and a leader of the country. And I reckon she could do it really bloody well.
Well, I guess you've had a bit of a closer perspective than other people who might say, yeah, that she doesn't have enough experience and don't know her on that more sort of personal level. Do you think that this will improve confidence in the party, or does it come across as a bit of a shambles and someone coming in who isn't experienced enough?
Yeah, well, the needle on the shambles meter is running higher than zero, that's for sure. But you know, I think actually what they've done behind the scenes, well, no, not behind the scenes, it's been done, it just hasn't really been noticed, is they've put together a clutch of, you know, very solid policy on education funding, on social welfare, proper, decent social spending, and a huge program for building new houses, which is what we absolutely need. You know, I'd like to see them go further, and I'd like them to see them have a capital gains tax, but at least they're bloody trying. You know, front and centre problem, front and centre issue in this country is that you can't, there's not a remote prospect of affording a house if you live in Auckland or Wellington or Queenstown, or, you know, for a lot of people, and that's got to change. And this government's doing nothing about it. A new coalition government would. That ought to be reason enough. And depend, you know, who's to say where the campaign will go over the next 6 weeks, but I think there's a real hunger in the electorate to hear people say, hey, this is screwed up and we're going to do something about it. And I think Jacinda's very good at conveying that to people. I think it could work, but anything could happen.
So you think, because, I mean, obviously, you know, we're leading our show with the story about the party rather than their policy. Do you think there is enough time to switch that focus back to policy?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's such a huge frustration that you always see that the last election, it became all about Kim.com, and it was impossible to get anything about policy discussed, and it was so frustrating. I don't know. And there's a further problem too. The National Party love this, and they love to scare people at every opportunity. Oh, if you vote for these other guys, you're going to have this weird 14-legged monster of people who can't get along. What utter bullshit. You know, these are people, I'm guessing a lot of them have watched Borgen and loved it. Well, what did you have there? You had actual coalition government. That's what they have in Sweden, and it works really well. And what's more, it's a different kind of a formulation where you don't have, as we have had so far with coalition arrangements, one big dog and a few tails. You can actually have a decent arrangement of, let's say, a chunk of Labour, a chunk of Greens, and a chunk of New Zealand First, and that could work just fine. But there's a kind of a incapacity to see that MMP can make that possible, and an incapacity to see that the way we used to do things doesn't have to be the way we do it in the future. I'd love to see that change, but, you know, to go back to your question, you know, will we shift from parties to policies? I don't know. In a way, if we do stay on parties, I'd like to see us have a much more intelligent debate about the fact that a coalition could work really bloody well.
Yeah, well, we just have a statement from the Māori Party saying that they are calling on Labour to work with them to form a government if they're in a position to do so after September 23rd. So that's just come out as well. Did you see that?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I love Marama Fox. I think she does great stuff. You have her on here quite often, don't you?
We're having her
next, she's so good. And I'd love to see them working together rather than having this kind of token arrangement with the National Party. Mm. Of course, I'm not sure how that would work with New Zealand First, but here's the thing to consider. If Jacinda can really push the vote up, it doesn't have to be New Zealand First in the mix.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.